When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting night of NBA basketball.
With the first pick, the Detroit Pistons select Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State University.
Chandler again. Oh, what a block by Max Seal! My goodness!
The Pistons are digging in. They got the depth. They got the big man. They got the better basketball team. No doubt about it.
There's Jaden playing the passing lane. Sky's a jam. And the crowd loves it.
Pistons need a three, and they have just under 3 seconds to do it. Here's Chauncey Billups. Here it is.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Angolano. Joining me this week is the regular cast of characters, Aaron Johnson and Jasper Apollonia. Fellas, how are we doing on this post-mortem day for me, at least?
It's, well, first off, you know, condolences for your Cleveland Cavaliers going out in the fashion that they did. I mean, look, I'll put it out there that if they were fully healthy and had Donovan Mitchell and Jared Allen, they maybe could have won that series. I think the Celtics are the most uninspiring number one seed that I've seen in quite some time. I don't dislike them, but I just don't enjoy watching them, and I don't have faith in them. You know, when it gets to the playoffs, they just always look so mediocre when they get to this time of the year. But I think we have to talk about some pretty sad stuff for the Pistons today. Our first podcast post draft lottery. I know some people are very, very much up in arms over the Pistons falling all the way down to the fifth pick, but it's great for content. It's great for coverage. And I'm looking forward to talking about that with you guys from here on out, heading into the draft later in June.
Yeah, normally I'd be thrilled about the Cavaliers going out of the playoffs like Stan Shearer, but for me, to the Celtics, my God, I do hate the Celtics. I'm willing to say that if you won't, Aaron. I hate the Celtics. Can't stand that franchise. Can't stand that fan base. Of course, many of my close friends are Celtics fans, so that might have something to do with it. But hey, you know what? The Cavaliers made it to the playoffs. The Cavaliers made it to the playoffs with a guy who was picked above number five. Multiple guys who were picked higher than number five. Pistons will not be picking somebody higher than number five, barring some extenuating circumstances. We'll be getting into that this week. We'll be talking about who are they taking at five? Should they move down? Or, God help me, should they move up in this draft? It's a bit of a somber occasion, and I know a lot of people wanted us probably to record the day of the lottery, but I'm kind of glad we didn't, because I think it gives us a little bit of breathing room, gives us a little ability to get past that initial, I don't even know if you can call it shock at this point. I think it's an inevitability. It's not even shocking. I'm sorry.
It's an expectation at this point. I mean,
right. Exactly. It's what you
for the lottery. And, you know, we had, I don't know, maybe 10, 15, 20 people in there, and the reaction from everyone, you know, no one was like, oh my God, I didn't see this coming. Everyone was like, this is exactly what I thought was going to happen. It's like, yeah, we're not used to this by now, guys. This is status quo over here.
Watching the Pistons in the lottery is a lot like watching the Lions before last year, where it's just like, how are things going to fall apart? I'm not surprised. I can't even say I'm shocked. It's more of just like a, oh my God, how did they do it again? So I'm glad we got to move past a little bit of that, because there are some intriguing prospects at number five. There are some intriguing scenarios for the Pistons, and I'm excited to get into it with you fellas for today.
Yes, and we are going to get right into it. Pistons did get the fifth pick in the draft, as everybody has talked about on Twitter. It's pretty preposterous having the worst record in the league 2 years in a row and getting the worst odds pick default to you 2 years in a row. It's almost like tanking karma. So we are going to talk about the Pistons getting the fifth pick, what they can do. They have a lot of options. There's been some people who've tried to spin it as, you know, because it's such a lackluster draft that the fifth pick doesn't actually lose a considerable amount of value down from one. So I'm sure that we'll touch on that as well, and plenty more. But before we move on to talk about that, I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is Bet Online. And Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA playoffs, and the NHL as well. All the latest odds, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action and go to Bet Online. They've been a loyal sponsor for a long time. Bet Online, where the game starts. Also, our usual pre-show plugs. Palace of Pistons Substack has been firing off weekly content, both written form and in this podcast as well. So if you haven't, and you're watching on YouTube or you're listening on wherever you get your podcast from, please subscribe to our newsletter, palacepistons.com. You can read our latest release. Aaron, you wrote about something, I think that was published yesterday, and we are going to talk about it. Five prospects the Pistons could take with the fifth pick. We're going to continue to have plenty of coverage with the NBA draft as we get closer and closer to that next month. There's also the weekly drive every Monday morning that hits your inbox that sort of recaps the previous week and all the news that surrounds the Pistons. So certainly please subscribe to the Palace of Pistons Substack if you have not. It takes a couple of seconds. If you are watching the show on our YouTube channel, please take 30 seconds, leave a like, and subscribe to our channel so you get notifications on when a video drops. And we do a little bit more than just the podcast. Occasionally, you'll get a short as well. And it does help us tremendously with that like and subscribe. Not to sound like a typical YouTube content creator, smack that like button. And then follow us on all of our socials as well, on TikTok, on Twitter/X, on Instagram, and on our Facebook page, all Palace of Pistons, aside from Instagram, which is Palace Pistons. So now that we've got the business out of the way, we can talk about the other business, which is the NBA draft lottery, which occurred Sunday. The Pistons got the fifth pick in the draft, ruining Mother's Day for everybody. They have the fifth pick again after having the best odds to get the number one pick and having a 52% chance of getting a top four pick. The Hawks get the first pick. They jumped up, I believe, 9 spots. The Wizards get the second pick. The Rockets moved up considerably as well. The San Antonio Spurs get the fourth pick, and then Detroit gets the fifth pick. So we can talk about how this is awful for the next 3 hours. But let's keep it a little bit more brief, as there's been a lot of discourse on Pistons Twitter about this and already written about it. We talked about on the last show moving and trading that pick, which is something Detroit might have to do if they want to be competitive sooner rather than later. Does them getting the fifth pick, Jasper, I'll go to you first. Does getting the fifth pick alter your opinion on whether the pick should be traded or not?
Well, you're right. It did ruin Mother's Day. I know my mom called me out of the blue, just distraught. She couldn't contain herself. She said, "Oh my God, I got out of yoga class and this is what happens. My chi is all out of whack." No, I think for me, this doesn't change much. It really doesn't. And the only thing that it really changes is that now you have the capability potentially of moving up in the draft. Whereas if you got the first pick, that wasn't happening. There's nowhere to go. But down from there, I think for me, the Pistons are not in an enviable position. Obviously, you fell down 4 slots in the draft, but you are still in a position where you have a lot of leverage. You have a lot of possibilities at your disposal. And let's be honest, we've been talking about this being somewhat of a lackluster draft. I think you still have a great opportunity to draft a guy at five that potentially could have fit what you were looking for at number one. So for me, this doesn't really change the calculus all that much. I'm pretty much in favor of the Pistons doing whatever their future president of basketball operations decides to do with that pick. If you want to keep it and go for a guy like Reed Sheppard, who I will say I think is probably going to be off the board, San Antonio getting pick number four made that a lot less fun for Pistons fans. I just see Reed Sheppard being a great fit next to somebody like Victor Wembanyama, especially for a team like the Spurs that desperately need a point guard. But I still think like there's guys like Dalton Knecht. There is still Ron Holland. There's Matas Bouzilis. There are prospects there that are highly intriguing for the Pistons. There is the capability of moving down. We discussed a couple of those scenarios last week. I still think that's in play. And then there's also the possibility that the Pistons decide to make a trade with the Atlanta Hawks, who have been a potential trade partner now for, I think, like 2-3 years for this team, to finally pull off that deal, not just for, say, a DeJounte Murray, but also potentially the number one pick. So I think there's a lot of things you can do here. One thing, Bleacher Report just came out with an article by Dan Favale where they suggested the Pistons trade Jaden Ivey, Asar Thompson, and the number five pick for the number one pick and DeJounte Murray. I think that there's a lot of appeal to something like that, even if Asar Thompson is not a player I want to move on from. So even then, like, you're still also in a position where if another team wants to move up in the draft, and in order to make pieces work, in order to make salaries work, you can, with that $60 million of cap space you have open, absorb a player for basically nothing. So I think the Pistons are still in a decent position, all things said. Aaron, I'm interested to see if you are kind of the same thinking as I am, or if you're a little bit more doom and gloom as a lot of people online are.
My mindset hasn't changed from prior to the lottery. I've been of the mindset from the beginning that the Pistons should be trying to trade this first round draft pick, leveraging it into a player that helps them win now. Not that they can't get a guy, whether it was going to be at 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, that can help them and can play minutes for them right away next year. But if they can use this pick in a package with something else on their roster, likely a young piece like a Jalen Duren or Jaden Ivey, to get a meaningful player that you know you can put alongside Cade Cunningham and is going to help you be a better team next year, that's the way the Pistons should be operating, in my opinion. And I've been of that opinion since before the lottery. So them falling in the lottery didn't change that for me. Yes, is it unfortunate? Yes, does it make the pick less valuable? It does, but you know, I think on the flip side, you also have to consider something like the draft pick, the contract is worth less than what the number one pick or the number two pick would make. So maybe there's some extra additional value to having the number five pick, because if a team's trading for the fifth pick, it's not going to cost them as much in terms of salary cap space as much as the number one or the number two pick would have. And in a draft class where maybe there aren't a bunch of all-stars and there aren't a bunch of big time names up at the top of the list, you know, maybe that is of value to the fifth pick. So I think the short should be looking to trade the pick. I think if the new president of basketball operations comes in and decides that they want to use the pick, I can't really fault them for that either, because it doesn't appear that there's a world in which this fifth draft pick is getting you near all-star level type of asset like a Brandon Ingram or a DeJounte Murray. It doesn't look like that's a good enough pick to fetch you that type of name, at least by itself. So I do agree that I'm okay with Detroit using the pick however they see fit, whether they want to actually use it or they want to trade it. But if it were me, I would be trying to shop the pick and seeing what's out there. I know there are names that the Pistons are interested in. We know there are names that a certain player's camp are interested in getting. So that's what I would be looking at if I were Detroit, is how can I use that pick to improve the roster right away?
So I'm in favor of trading the pick as well. Mostly because if you keep accumulating younger assets, you're not advancing the timeline to being competitive any further. There's nobody outside of maybe Dalton Knecht, since he's the oldest, who might be able to make a high-level impact immediately. So I'm in favor of moving the pick for more of a win-now player. I'm in favor of moving back if that's something that happens. If a player becomes available that the Pistons aren't interested in and a team gives you a good enough offer to move up a few spots, then I'm open to that. But is there anybody that you'd be interested in moving up for? And I know this is a little bit of speculation on how the draft is going to go. I know that the order is really all over the place, but, you know, is there a particular guy that if they're available at 3 or 4, you would really want to move up for?
I would say for me, the only guy that really stands out is, like, if I could trade up and get him, I'd be interested in doing it would be Alex Sarr. At the same time, I don't think trading up to 1, 2, 3, or 4 makes sense for Detroit if it's going to cost them the 5th pick and someone like an Asar Thompson or Jalen Duren. I don't know if there's that much of a gap in the talent and the potential of these players that are, you know, the top 8 to 10 in the draft. I think it's pretty level. Like, Sar, I think, is definitely a higher-end prospect, I guess, compared to them. But even he doesn't have that much of a gap between, you know, someone like Reed Shepard or Montez Buzelis. Like, I just don't think there's that much of a gap that it's worth attaching a young asset to move up. It just doesn't make sense to me in this draft. If the draft class were stronger and there was, you know, a couple of guys or three guys that were just really 2-3 tiers ahead of everyone else, then yeah, it would probably make more sense. But right now, I just don't see a prospect that it's like, well, if Reed Shepard goes at 3 or 4, the draft's over for Detroit. They might as well just, you know, draft Bronny James and do what these idiots on Twitter and have their own podcast to get clicks for are saying. Like, no, it's there's going to be another guy outside of Reed Shepard to go out there and draft. So it just doesn't make sense in a draft class like this.
Yeah, I mean, there's no use in listening to, you know, clickbait idiots with their own podcasts on, you know, randos. I mean, you should be listening to us, clickbait idiots, with our own podcast.
Hey.
Sorry, I'm speaking for myself on that one.
You know where you can go to get the Bronny James to the Pistons takes. You know you're not getting them here. How about we put it that way?
That's, thank God for that. At least we have some dignity, yeah?
They can take him 53rd.
Yeah, they might
go,
as well.
There you go.
Is he a client of anyone that works in the Pistons front office? If so, there's a good chance that'll happen.
That does change things.
Yeah, who's he signed with? I guess for me, the only way that I would really be interested in moving up for that one pick is, and moving off of assets currently on the Pistons roster, is, are you also getting a win now player? And that's the only reason I even think about something like, of course, it's a fake trade. Who knows if any of these teams would even consider it. However, would I move off of Jade and Ivy, Asar Thompson in 5 to get the number one pick and DeJounte Murray? I think for me, that's a little bit more of an appealing idea because, look, we've talked about it for 2 years now. At a certain point, the Pistons are going to have to consolidate young players, picks, of which they have no excess, so it's going to have to be young players. They're going to have to package them to put a real, you know, secondary star next to Cade, even if Jaden Ivey had developed into that guy or Jalen Duren. So, you know, you need a third guy. Like, that's just kind of how it goes in today's NBA. You really need at least 3 players, and you need a great supporting cast around them, which is just very difficult to do when you have a bunch of young guys who you eventually have to pay. So for me, I would be interested in moving up as long as you're also getting back a proven player in return. That's the only way I'd really want to move up. For me, though, I think, you know, if we are keeping the pick, and frankly, I think that is the least appealing option. I don't want to speak for you two, but I feel like we're all kind of in the same boat here. Like, I think keeping the pick is the least appealing option at five, even if you can get a decent player. And there are a couple guys there, like Matas Bouzilis. I think, look, I know he didn't shoot well from three this last year at all. And that's something you talked about in your piece, which is now on Palace of Pistons on our Substack, Aaron. But, and this is where getting a little bit of time post-lottery draw to actually look at some of these prospects that are being mocked there helps a little bit. I think he's one of those guys who could end up shooting better in the NBA than the numbers appear to be. I'm not saying a 40% shooter, but I think at least passable. I could see that for him just based on the type of shots that he's taking, based on his form. I think he had a little bit of bad luck there. I think when you're talking about a guy who defensively could help a lot, almost what, two blocks a game this year? I mean, that's really good. And you're talking about a player also who's 6'10". Like, a lot of potential there. He has a little bit of passing ability as well. Not as much as some of the point guards there, obviously, but a little bit of passing ability too. So if you are going to keep the pick, that's a player I'd be really interested in taking. I think, though, there's a lot of other good options. Like, there is going to be a good player available for the Pistons at five. It just depends whether the president of basketball operations, who we are going to talk about coming up towards the end of this podcast, what they really think has to be the priority. Because how much longer can you continue to do what the Pistons have done? Like, really, even with $60 million in cap space, I think your options in free agency are very limited. So for me, I'm wondering, like, where would you guys like to go with this? And if you do keep the fifth overall pick, who are you really interested there?
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. I think let's go off of the Pistons, keep the fifth pick. They make a selection on June 26th. Right now, on while we're recording Thursday night, May 16th, with the right for our opinions to change as, you know, time goes on. But right now, who do you want the Pistons to take at five? I mean, let's say based off of, I'd say, consensus, it's really loose. I mean, let's say Sar is off the board. Let's say Zachary Richesha is off the board. Outside of that, I think everyone else has a chance to be available. I also think there's a world where Richesha is available, but I feel like he's more of a top four pick in most mocks than he isn't. So let's just say Sar and Richesha are off the board. Everyone else is available because it's really a crapshoot as to who's going to be off the board by the time the Pistons are on the clock. Who do the Pistons take at five right now if you're making that decision?
Like I said, I think for me, it's Bouzilis. Like, I've talked about this ad nauseum. Anyone who listens to the podcast knows how I feel. You need wings. You need wings. You need wings. That's true for any team in the NBA. It is especially true for Detroit. And I know that there's a lot of fear, like I said, around his three-point shooting. But when you look at the ability to switch when it comes to the playoffs defensively, it is the most, it's like the most important thing you can do. One of my favorite Rick Carlisle quotes is, you know, he basically said, here's how you win an NBA playoff game. You hold the opposing team scoreless for three possessions in a row, three times in a game. You win that game. And I still think that's true even in today's NBA. If you can stop a team from scoring three times in a row on three separate occasions during the game, you are going to win. And I think if you have a front line of Bouzilis, Thompson, you're just setting yourself up to do that in the best way possible. Look at the New York Knicks. Like, look at what the New York Knicks are doing right now in the playoffs. And of course, they could lose this series to the Indiana Pacers, but I mean, no Julius Randle. It's kind of a big omission from that squad. The way that they're doing it without a whole ton of star power is they are just competing every single possession defensively. They are busting their asses. And Jalen Brunson single-handedly is just dragging that offense to what it needs to be. When you have a sum, we've seen it in 2004, when the sum of your parts is greater than the individuals, you can win in the NBA. You can win in the playoffs. And I think by taking a 6'10 small forward, power forward, that is going to be switchable, that is going to give you some rim protection, that I think has the growth potential from outside. To me, that's just something that, like, I have to try it. I have to see what that looks like. And I know that everybody is like, oh my God, the offense was terrible. But we saw by bringing in just a guy like Mike Muscala, who's like a good backup center, how much that elevated the Pistons' offense. I think it's easier for the Pistons to, with a few ancillary pieces, to improve their offense to at least middle of the road. I think it's much harder to create a lockdown defense. And that's where you have to really nail in the draft, in your free agency, and during trades. So for me, I think that's got to be the pick. I know there's other guys, there's other players I'm interested in as well. But for me, Bouzilis is the one that makes the most sense for this team if you are truly serious about making the playoffs in a year and actually making noise in the playoffs as well.
I'll say this. I think, as I've said before, there's a number of guys you can take at five that are all have their own strengths and their own weaknesses that make them worthy of being the fifth pick in this draft. If I had to make the pick today, if I'm picking for the Pistons and I'm picking to get a guy that's going to be able to play minutes for this team right away, I'm taking Dalton Knecht from Tennessee. 6'6 wing, can shoot the ball, can score from all three levels, is athletic, can get at the rim. I just think you have to get players that can give you minutes. It's hard for me to sign up for a project right now. And when I look at a guy like Bouzilis, I think, yes, he can play, but I think it's going to take longer for him to come along. The shooting might take a few years to really get to a point where you're comfortable playing him bigger minutes. And not that that means you can't take him, but I just know with Connect, with him being older, with him being 23 years old, he has that experience. We've seen it every year, whether he was at, I believe it was North Dakota State, or and then when he came to Tennessee, every year the numbers have gotten better for him. The scoring's gone up. The volume's gone up. He's doing more things that make him a valuable player. And look, I just think there's something to be said in a draft class like this, where there maybe isn't that all-star type of guy, getting a player that you feel comfortable believing in coming in and giving you 15, 20, maybe 25 minutes a night. I think if you can get that at five, that's a really good thing if you're deciding to keep that pick. And I think you could make a similar case for a guy like Reed Sheppard, who maybe doesn't have the age, but the numbers in college were so good. The best 3-point shooter in the country. You know, I know he's shorter. I know he's not, you know, as tall, but he's got a good vertical. He's a very smart defender, uses his hands very well, is a secondary creator. Not a great creator for himself, but a good creator for others. Smart basketball player, can shoot the ball, is a plug-and-play type guy. He's going to give you that effort. So I think if I'm picking at five today, it's Dalton Knecht. But like I said, you can talk me into Reed Sheppard. You can talk me into Bouzelas. You could talk me into Rishi Shea. Like, you could talk me into most of these guys. I think probably the guy that I least want to take right now is someone like a Ron Holland, who just doesn't have the shooting numbers that say it's going to get better. Not that he's not a valuable prospect, not that he can't be a good player, but when I look at what the Pistons have right now, I just don't think he's the best fit for this team. So that's how I feel about the fifth pick, trying to get a guy that, if you're going to use the pick, can come in right away and you're comfortable giving him minutes.
Yeah, for the sake of variety, because Dalton Knecht was who I talked about the most last week, and he is the plug-and-play type of guy that I think the Pistons probably covet right now, as opposed to another project. They already have many projects on their roster, but I'm going to operate under the assumption that some of those projects are being given to other teams. I'm assuming that you're going to get a Duren trade or a Jaden Ivey trade, or maybe they're going to be traded together. Something is going to happen to sort of bust up what they currently have. And Reed Sheppard does interest me if he does move all the way down to five. I think that could be a guy that fits next to Cade Cunningham, being the shooter, the floor spacer that he is, being a smarter defender. That is enticing, and it fills an immediate need. And I agree. He just seems like one of those guys that's going to be playing in a league for such a long time. And that is certainly very interesting as well. The other guy was Donovan Clingan from UConn. And again, if you're going to be moving on from Jalen Duren, you're going to want a center. Maybe even if you aren't going to be moving on from Jalen Duren, but you don't see him as the center of the future. Donovan Clingan is there at 7'2", on a championship UConn team. Seems like he's the, you know, ideal pick and roll rim protection type of guy that would pair very well with Cade Cunningham. Not a 3-point shooter. He's not going to be a guy who stretches the floor as a floor spacing big, but I think the Pistons could do worse with him at five. If you are going to move on from Jalen Duren, you can get another young center. You move Duren to get another player that fits a different area. So those are the two guys that would be intriguing to me. I agree with Ron Holland. I mean, he's been mocked all over the place, but the lack of consistency seems like he's more of a project type of guy for a team like maybe Portland, that you know, can take some swings on some guys, or Charlotte, that could take a swing. I don't think the Pistons should put themselves in the position to be taking a swing on a guy that could be another long-term project. And then you can't move on from that player because their value just isn't where it is yet.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense right now. I mean, there's so much pressure on this organization and those within it to accelerate this rebuild, this restoration, whatever the hell you want to call it. There's so much pressure on those inside to make serious change and show serious growth as quickly as possible. I just, like you said, I don't think you can justify taking a guy that's more of a project. If you're going to use the pick, you've got to get a guy that you feel comfortable fits with your group and can give you minutes right away. Not a guy that might need some time in the G League or is, you know, going to have to come along very, very slowly at the beginning of the year. And one more thing on Ron Holland, or really any wing that we're talking about, you know, the expectation is that Detroit is going to be aggressive this year, trying to improve the roster. We've heard they're going to be trying to get big time players in the trade market. And we would imagine that they're going to be going after a wing, a NBA proven wing of some sorts, even if it's not at the level of Brandon Ingram, but they're going to be going after a guy on the wing that can give them 20 to 30 minutes a night, be either a starter or a high-end bench guy for them. How much can you afford to bring in a wing like Ron Holland, who, like I said, isn't maybe ready for those minutes. And then you're using a pick on a guy that's probably the fourth or fifth wing in your rotation. I just don't know how much sense that makes.
Yeah, I think we're all in agreement. Like, whoever you're taking here has to be an instant impact player, right? On at least one end of the floor. I don't know. I mean, like, I could easily talk myself into Reed Shepherd as well. And that's the thing with this draft and with this pick is, like, I could be talked into so many different guys. And I'm sure that our opinions will start to solidify in the upcoming weeks as, you know, we do even more research, even more looks at these players. Like, come on, like, let's not kid our viewers or our listeners. Like, it's not like we've been, you know, breaking down Reed Shepherd tape since September. No, it hasn't been happening. But absolutely, we will get there. And I see this draft as very similar to last year's draft, where it's like, I think you have the potential to get a really good player at five. It just comes down to, like, what is this president of basketball operations going to really want to focus on? Like, what is the identity for this team that he is going to want to create? What is the path forward that he sees as being the best one? Especially since now we are getting into that point where it's like, Kate Cunningham is becoming extension eligible. So, like, how are you planning on keeping him here in Detroit? Because I think we're all in agreement here, unless you're getting, like, an absolute rock star type deal for him, that is priority number one, is locking up Cade Cunningham for the future. Because as of right now, with the roster where it is, you are not going anywhere. Forget the playoffs. You're not touching 30 wins without Cade Cunningham on your roster in the next 2 years. So it's got to happen, and it's got to happen soon. I don't know, Mike, I don't know if there's something else you want to jump in here, but it does seem as though the president of basketball operations search is starting to heat up a little bit now. I don't know if we want to start getting into that. Yeah. Because it does seem as though,
let's do it,
next coming week, there could be something coming down the tailpipe. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, just to bring it back to the draft as well, this is all of what we've been talking about is sort of dependent on that the Pistons are going to make some moves to be competitive immediately, or at least not nearly as bad as they have been, to get win-now players. If the new president comes in and has a different vision for what the team is, then, you know, those plans change. You know, it could be wiping the slate clean. I don't think that would really happen, but all possibilities exist. And I couldn't really blame a president of basketball operations coming in, looking at this mess of picks and being like, yeah, we don't have nearly enough salvageable pieces. We might just have to rip it up and start over, but it's possible. And as Jasper alluded to, the president of basketball operations search continues. One of the names that I think we're all in favor of would be Tim Connelly from the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Wolves could be eliminated tonight. For those of you listening would already know exactly what happened. but if he is eliminated along with the Timberwolves, the Pistons would and should be moving very quickly to open up the wallet and pretty much give Connelly whatever he would want if he were interested in coming over. And all signs point to that sort of being the scenario. Amari Sankofa of the Detroit Free Press provided an update this afternoon or this morning on Tim Connelly, and it appears that he is high on Detroit's candidate list. They've been waiting to interview him while the Wolves have continued on their playoff run. He had mentioned that the clock may run out, quote unquote, on Connelly as the Pistons look to conclude their search within the next week or so. Of course, that's all dependent on the Wolves advancing past the Nuggets and getting into the Western Conference Finals, which they're currently down 3-2. Again, all of you listening are already going to know exactly what happens, but that's sort of the reason why it's taken so long. So kind of gets into where we were with coaches last year, where we kept waiting and waiting and waiting for who the head coach is going to be. The Pistons have a track record of doing this, but should the Pistons delay making a present basketball operations hire until they get a chance to interview Tim Connelly? Because to me, the answer is a resounding, of course.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I don't understand. You look at where Minnesota's at in the playoffs. Like you said, by the time we're done recording this podcast, by the time it's up and available for people to listen, the Timberwolves very well could be out of the playoffs. Down 3-2 to Denver. Denver's rolling. And if you can't wait another week to see what happens, you just have to get through the weekend even to see if Minnesota's got another series or two ahead of them. So I would absolutely be waiting to see if you can talk to Tim Connelly. And here's the thing, though, with that, right? You still have to get that permission. You know, they waited for John Horst, and the Bucks turned him down. The Bucks did not give him permission to talk to John Horst. So you're looking at a situation where that could happen again. But at the same time, does waiting a week or two, does that take Dennis Lindsay off the board? Does that take Trajan Langdon off the board? Does that take any of these guys really off the board? I don't think so. And you know what? I think Tim Connelly has the resume that says he's worth the wait to see if you get to talk to him and to see if you're going to be able to open up the checkbook to get him. And look, it sounds like there's interest on both sides. It doesn't sound like this is a one-sided thing. So hopefully the Pistons will make the decision to wait. And if things work out that they get to talk to Tim Connelly, that's the guy that the Pistons should certainly be going after the hardest. He has the track record. He's proven it, not just on one team, but on two teams. And if he has an interest in coming to Detroit with the way that he's built teams before around homegrown drafted stars, drafted young players, that's the guy that I would be writing the biggest check for from Tom Gores and the Detroit Pistons. Tim Connelly makes all the sense in the world.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s. 1975, to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Yeah, look, if the Timberwolves lose tonight, you know who they'll lose to? Another team that Tim Connelly put most of the effort into building. Like, that's what you're talking about here. Probably the two most impressive teams in the playoffs so far are Tim Connelly-built teams. So, yeah, am I willing to wait an extra couple days? Sure. You didn't make the hire before the playoffs. You didn't make the hire before the lottery. Genuinely, like, a couple extra days, I'm willing to wait. I think Tim Connelly is, like you said, Aaron, He's the type of executive that is worth really shelling out the big bucks for. He has a track record, not just with one team, not just with one organization, but two. And that is very, very rare to find in today's NBA. Like, look around the league. How many other dudes have done it with multiple teams? Like Masai Ujiri. Feel free to throw out another. Like, genuinely, it's hard. It's hard to. I'm sorry.
It's just not a big list. There's not a lot of guys out there with that type of resume. And for a team that is so desperately looking for like a safe hire, someone that's going to come in and provide stability at the position, someone with the experience that this organization is so in desperate need of, like, don't know if there's any of these other candidates. Maybe Dennis Lindsay would, and that's probably who I would prefer right behind Tim Connolly, but like, you need someone that has the experience of running the show before, has the track record, has the success, that you can see how he's built teams in the past and see how he's done things the right way, both in Denver. He didn't blow things up in Denver when guys got injured or anything. He continued to make savvy moves. You know, you look at the move like the Aaron Gordon trade, something that completely changed Denver's trajectory and got them a guy that they desperately needed to take them to the next level. You look at how he's built out Minnesota. They didn't tear things down after one season where it didn't look great with Rudy Gobert and Karl-Anthony Towns together. There wasn't a major overreaction. They stuck together. They went out and got Mike Conley. They went out and found some of these other role players that have been major players for them. Someone like a Nickeil Alexander-Walker. And he's proving he can do it in multiple situations. He has an eye for talent, and he has an eye for keeping stability in an organization. So I just don't know why you wouldn't wait and why he wouldn't be at the top of your list. It's crazy because this wouldn't even be a discussion if there wasn't this whole, you know, franchise issue in Minnesota with the change in ownership. Like, that really seems to be the only reason where he might decide to opt out of his contract and look elsewhere because of the instability there. So if the Pistons are blessed with that opportunity to get this premier NBA executive because of a random situation that just doesn't happen every year, like, they should be all over it. So yeah, they have to wait it out, and yeah, they have to see if they get that opportunity, because the wait would be worth it if it pans out. And you know, if it doesn't, these guys aren't going anywhere that are these other candidates on the list.
The only way that I can relate to Glenn Taylor is that we both are our own worst enemy. So that's the one thing we have in common. Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing with Connolly too, and you know, one guy I actually didn't mention, John Hammond for the Magic, another guy who's done it with multiple franchises, but it's a small list. And the thing with Connolly is that he's walked into situations that are similar to what the Pistons are doing right now, where he's had some individual talent, but not an organization that's been able to bring that talent together, that's been able to make the savvy moves. You mentioned the Aaron Gordon trade. I also think of the Michael Porter Jr. pick. You know, they took him, what, 14th overall? A lot of people were scared of him. A lot of people were scared of that pick with the issues with his back, blah, blah, blah. That turned out to be pretty freaking good for them. And you mentioned Nickeil Alexander-Walker, Naz Reid, who is the type of player that the Pistons would kill for. They got him at a cheaper price than Isaiah Stewart's extension. So he just won Sixth Man of the Year. Like, Nickeil Alexander-Walker has turned into one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA. Who the hell thought that was going to happen? You know, bringing in Slo-Mo, my guy, Kyle Anderson, who I would love to see on the Pistons, by the way. Yeah, I just think you look at what Connolly's done with teams that have had individual talent, but not the team around them to make that talent shine. I don't see Detroit as being in an entirely dissimilar situation. What they need is an executive who can come in, make those savvy picks, make those savvy signings, find value in the trade market, even when you don't have a lot of pieces to work with, and occasionally take that big swing like they did for Rudy Gobert. I know everyone was laughing at that, but like, I and I know he's gotten cooked by Nikola Jokic, but guess what? Nikola Jokic cooks everybody. It's like being
cooks
like
everybody.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, oh, Chris Webber got owned by Shaq. Well, no, everyone gets owned by Shaq. Everyone does. It's a similar type of situation. Overall, what he's done with that team has been spectacular. And look, who picked Nikola Jokic? Tim Connelly. So for me, when I'm looking at what the Pistons need, you have to hit a home run. You absolutely have to hit a home run. And for me, Tim Connelly is a freaking home run. So yes, I'm willing to wait. There are other guys I'd be okay with. But man, if you can get Tim Connelly, you got to do it. And man, it also really scares me that I feel like we were talking about Monty Williams in some of the same ways last year. But this is a different situation. Totally different situation. I have much more faith in Tim Connelly. I'll say that.
I have more faith in Tim Connelly as well, but I couldn't help be thinking about that in the back of my head today of like, because reading the article is at least $15 million a year to get Tim Connelly to consider leaving the Wolves. And I'm thinking, that is a big chunk of change. Thankfully, it's not my chunk of change. It's Tom Gores' chunk of change. And if he needs to pay up to make up for the mistakes where he also paid up, then so be it. It did go through the back of my mind. I think it's a little bit different, though. Tim Connelly has a much better resume, a championship pedigree. And like you guys have said, it's an easy decision to wait on this. It's not like you're going to be waiting months and months. You could be waiting like 12 hours. You're not going to, you know, suddenly pick your president of basketball operations in 9 hours and think, oh man, we should have waited an extra 3 hours for Tim Connelly. You can wait. You can afford to wait. You know, you want to hit a home run. Leadership and culture setting starts at the top. We know this for any organization, not just in basketball, but it starts at the top. And you want to bring in somebody that can do that because it's been very evident that that's a huge piece that the Pistons have been lacking for a long time. Is there's just no rudder on this boat. And getting a guy like Tim Connelly would solve a lot of those problems. And it would certainly make me a lot happier going into the draft with a guy that has a pedigree of being able to navigate teams that are in bad situations. Remember that Rudy Gobert trade was like panned as soon as it happened. And now he is getting owned by Nikola Jokic. But again, point still stands. The Wolves had a very successful season. They're arguably their best season since Kevin Garnett was there. And Tim Connelly has done a lot to get them to that point after being a team that couldn't win a playoff series without Kevin Garnett. So
Tim Connelly, I think they have to bring along with him Karl Anthony Towns, who, for as divisive of a player as he is, would still certainly help the Detroit Pistons. So, you know, for all of the talk about it, I think there's a lot of credence to wanting Tim Connelly, and I just think there's a pathway to him getting this team better. I trust the way that he's built teams before. And how he's done it, the situations that he's been in. So, I know we've kind of all just said similar things about it, but I think it's worth being said because you look at the other candidates, and I don't know if there's anyone there besides maybe Dennis Lindsay that you're as comfortable with in terms of the experience that they've had in the league and the track record that they've had in the league. I don't know if you look at any of the other names that are like, I trust what they've done as much as I trust Connelly.
It would be really funny though, because if they pay Tim Connelly $15 million and $1, he will be making more money next year than any player on the Pistons roster. Currently, of course, we don't know what's going to happen in free agency. But then again, he and Monty Williams, like your head coach and president of basketball operations, could be making a combined $28 million next season. I believe as of right now, the Pistons have locked up for next year Ausar Thompson for $8 million, Isaiah Stewart for $15 million, Marcus Sasser for $2.7 million. And then they also have what, Cade for $13 million. So there's a good chance that like your four highest played players on the team combined are making like the same as your front office and head coach. That would be just absolutely wild. But
how much dead salary do they have?
I believe Dwayne. Oh my God, they're still paying Dwayne Dedman.
I'm pulling it up right now.
They're still paying.
They have that salary, but they have the most cap.
Next year, they are paying Dwayne Dedman $2.9 million. They are, yes.
What's he up to right now, you think? Like, what do you think he's doing?
Getting ready to cash a $2.9 million check. That's what I would be doing.
he's at Dave and Buster's. He's got enough money in the bank for, like, I don't know.
Start betting.
Yeah, 3-4 hours.
He's gonna bet on skee ball.
Dwayne Dedman has been banned for life from Dave and Buster's for betting on his own Papa Shot games. Brings me no pleasure to report this.
Not the worst route to go.
Yeah, hey,
just as Jonte Porter.
I was gonna say that's what Jonte messed up. He should have just waited for Dave and Buster's. He could have gone in there, gotten a ringer. Whatever. Jonte, hit us up. We got some business opportunities for you. Just 10% of the big. 10% on the big. That's it, baby. I got you.
Yeah. So, hey, if this timeline is correct, then in a week or two, we'll be talking about a new president of basketball operations. And that's exciting. We hope it's Tim Connolly. Not to disparage the other names that are on this list. Treyon Langdon is another young up-and-coming guy. Bryson Graham, another up-and-coming type of guy. Really not interested in Mark Eversley just because the Bulls are super just ambivalent. Dennis Lindsay's fine as well. I would be fine with Dennis Lindsay, but Tim Connolly is just like a cut above those other guys to the point where it's you know, it's obviously worth waiting.
For me, if you can bring in Connolly and then Graham as the new GM, for me, that's like a 10 out of 10 home run front office offseason. Like that would be just awesome.
Over under on how many days Troy Weaver lasts if Tim Connolly's the president of basketball operations. Over under like
when I say
six.
Like, part of me does actually really feel bad for Troy Weaver. Every story that's published about the Pistons president of basketball operations search is laced with the same line of the new president of basketball operations would have the power to decide on the fate of general manager Troy Weaver. And to just like to still be employed, you know, I mean, I don't know. I would imagine he's still like doing things. I mean, he is still the team's general manager, but like for every story to come out and basically say, then whoever gets hired has the power to fire the general manager who's done who's had a really bad four seasons in Detroit. I don't know. Like part of me just feels bad because he is, he's got to be in a really tough spot right now. It's like, hey, you know, Troy, did you get those scouting reports put together on Reed Shepard and Dalton Connect? And it's like, Troy could be called into the office next Tuesday and be out of a job. It's weird. I mean, part of me actually does feel bad because it's just an awkward situation. You're waiting for essentially your successor to get hired. And then that successor is going to come in and say, yeah, hey, I'm either going to give you the chance to work under me and take a demotion, or I'm going to show you the door and you're unemployed.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever been in the situation where like either your company is getting merged and everyone's getting laid off, or you just know that it's going to happen, but that is the worst feeling in the world. You still got to go into work every single day and do your job, but like you're just like, what am I doing this for? This sucks. I don't want to be here anymore. Can someone else please hire me out from under this job? Like already. I also do think it's funny, all these articles, they always do say, like you just said, Aaron, the new president of basketball operations will be able to determine the fate of Troy Weaver. Like
it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they're gonna like execute
Joffrey's
him.
Gonna lop his head off.
They're gonna execute him for crimes against basketball. Like, oh, poor Troy, man. They're gonna send him to Siberia. He and Mikhail Prokhorov are gonna be like running the same Russian basketball team in exile or whatever. Poor guy, man. You never want somebody else to determine your fate. That's just never a good thing.
No, and you know, we've talked a lot about Troy over the last several years, but none of us are happy about this and him being fired. None of us are, you know, with smiles on our faces that this is happening, because that means that it went horribly wrong. You know, it's like none of us wanted it to come to this, but it had to. There's just no other option based on all the moves that have been made. So just to be very clear, it's like we're not, you know, going to have a party for Troy Weaver being fired. It's terrible. He's probably going to be added to the dead salary list because he has a contract extension of some unknown length and amount. But it's just it is very unfortunate. It is certainly very unfortunate, and it's not a good position to be in.
We're not throwing a party, but we are prematurely writing his obituary.
You know what I mean? Yes, we are.
Like the New York Times does. So. Yeah,
I mean both Aaron and I may have like drafts of that article ready to go and hit the Substack. We may have had it for a year or so at this point. Well, guys, that's all of the topics for today's show. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up this edition of the podcast?
No, this is where plugger Aaron will pop in.
Right. Say, get the hat on.
To palaceofpistons.com. Hit the subscribe button. Go check out my piece on the 5 prospects that I talked about as options for Detroit. There's plenty of other names that weren't mentioned in that piece that you could also look at as realistic options for the Pistons. I definitely want to know what everyone's thinking, so go comment on the Substack post, comment in the YouTube sections, tweet at us, at Palace of Pistons. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know who you like, who you dislike, whether you want them to trade the pick or keep the pick. Always love hearing what the people have to say. I think that it allows us to kind of get a better understanding of, you know, not just how we feel. I think sometimes we might get in our own bubble with our own little group, and, you know, maybe there's like some groupthink there, but hearing what everyone else doesn't talk to us each and every day has to say and what they think, I think that's unique and worthwhile as well. So tell us what you think. Go over to palaceofpistons.com, subscribe, wherever you're listening to the show from, hit the subscribe button, follow us, leave us a review, like, whatever, all that good stuff. You know how to do it. You've been doing it for years with your support for us, so we appreciate it. Keep it coming.
100%, Aaron. This is one of those weeks where we actually want our comment section to be a war zone, because there's so many things the Pistons could do with this pick. And genuinely, like, this is like an hour-long pod, and I still feel like we didn't hit on nearly all the things that they could do. So we love that outside perspective. We love those other ways of thinking about the situation the Pistons are in right now. We want to hear what you have to say. Yeah, and we'll be back next week sharing what we have to say. I just hope that we can get something good, and hopefully next week we'll be talking about the Pistons' new president of basketball operations, inshallah. So I'm looking forward to that one, guys.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a draft yet where everything has been in such flux. Like, it's possible that as soon as the season is over, you know, all like 3 of the 4 teams in front of the Pistons are all different, because the Spurs could trade 4, the Rockets could trade 3, and Atlanta could trade 1, and all, you know, all of a sudden our mock drafts are entirely different. So it's going to be an exciting time. And yes, hopefully this time next week, we're talking about new president of basketball operations, Tim Connelly. Sorry to all the Wolves fans who are listening, but that probably means you've been eliminated. Join the club. I know how it feels. Guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast. I'd like to thank our sponsor for this week's episode, and that is Bet Online. And you can head on over to the website today or use your mobile device, get in on the action. And Bet Online has been a loyal sponsor, so we thank you, as always, for supporting the Palace Pistons podcast. Like I said, that is going to do it for my co-hosts, Jasper Apollonia and Aaron Johnson. I am Mike Angolano. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Palace Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Network, and we will see you all next time.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.